Greetings, greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. When Bootsy's playing gospel like that, you want to just let the tape roll. But this is the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, 2011, September 11th, 10th anniversary of 9-1-1, that tragedy that occurred September 11th, 2001. And we want to say something about that. But sisters and brothers, these who are in government positions, who cause us to think that they are fighting on our behalf, are working on behalf of the synagogue of Satan, are working on behalf of the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. They are not working on our behalf. And so you recall, sisters and brothers, that whole budget crisis that was manufactured, the turn of the year, 2011, the whole of the budget was agreed upon. The Republicans agreed on the budget. The Democrats agreed on the budget. They all agreed as to what would be taken in revenue and what would be taken in taxes. They agreed on what they would take from Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. They agreed on what they would take from Pell Grants for education. They all agreed on all of those things. Then we come to what? August, I guess it was, so-called budget crisis. All of that was manufactured. They want to act like they had not agreed on the budget. The Republican and Democratic Party wanted to act like no other president had raised the debt ceiling to continue to pay the bills. It is law. I believe it's the 14th Amendment that the bills of America be paid. But Obama didn't tell you that. Obama did not tell us that. Why? His job is to follow the script, to compromise and capitulate to the Republican Party and the Tea Party, because they are all given the same script, a slightly different script, but the same directive, to cut the poor. Now, the Republican Party, they appeal to white people who are racist and hateful. That's just reality. The Democratic Party appeals to those whites who are not racist and hateful, who are a part of the poor struggling class. And the Democratic Party appeals to the black, brown, red, and yellow. Both parties have sold all of us out. It is to our benefit to drop both parties and all of us come together to overthrow their power. So they acted like it was a budget crisis. Then they set up the 12-person panel. These 12 people, 6 Democrats, 6 Republicans, would vote on how to cut the people. That's the only purpose of this 12-person panel. Vote how to cut the people. And if Congress does not agree with what they say, then the cuts become automatic. And Obama agreed to this wickedness following his directive given by the same House of Rothschilds, Oppenheimer's Synagogue of Satan. And so President Obama went before a group of sisters and brothers in Detroit on Labor Day and talked like he is for the people, talked like he is for workers. And you saw all manner of unions, UAW, AFL-CIO, Teamsters. All of these groups sold out by their union leaders. UAW's leader is Bob King. Teamsters is Hoffa, I believe. I forget the name of the AFL-CIO, but all of these have cut deals with folk who do not love us. We as union members, I'm a member of the UAW, we're going to have to unite and push aside our leadership, create new leadership, and we become defenders of the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. International, fight against warfare and bloodshed. Bring those monies home for the benefit of the people and stop killing people overseas, taking their land, their wealth, and their resources. This is how we should talk. And Obama, trying to fool the people, and many of us are yet fooled, into thinking that Obama cares for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. He's using beautiful, constructed language. And I saw UAW people clapping their hands behind Obama on Labor Day. But the man, every time, is compromising and capitulating. Now, we have got to stand up and force those in government to abide by the law. Now, this Quran, continuing to talk about those that have that disease in their hearts, who come before us to say they're with us, when in reality, they are only using demagogic, hypocritical speech to cause us to be maneuvered into cutting our own throats. The Quran says in verse 2, chapter 16, these are they who buy error for guidance, so their bargain brings no gain, nor are they guided. And so, these are they who buy error. These ones who have disease in their hearts. These ones who act like they are with us, but in reality, they are doing the bidding of the synagogue of Satan. Watch this. To buy, to purchase. You can purchase with money. You can purchase with time. You can purchase with your talents. And so the house of Rothschilds, they are in error. Error is that which is not good. Error is that which is bad. Error is that which is can be wicked. The path that should not be taken is a path of error. And so the house of Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, they use their money, power, and influence to buy politicians, to buy presidents and prime ministers. For good? No. For error. What error? To create warfare, bloodshed all over the earth. To force governments to cut the people and destroy the people and destroy the oppressed. Remember, Mother Hannah said that the Most High wants to raise up the poor and the beggars and the oppressed. The Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, the synagogue of Satan, have bought error for guidance. Guidance means to show the way, to pave the way, to give instructions to show the people how to act. But the type of actions that the house of Rothschilds buy is error for guidance rather than righteousness for guidance. Error, that which is not correct, for guidance, to guide us into warfare, bloodshed, destruction of our sisters and our brothers. Then the politicians buy error. What do the politicians do? These politicians that have sold out to the synagogue of Satan, they then turn around after being bought off by the house of Rothschilds, Oppenheimers, 1%, 2% ruling class families, Wall Street oligarchs, corporate elite plutocrats. These same politicians then come to us and solicit us to buy into that same error for guidance, so that all of us may destroy ourselves and destroy the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. Well, this is the time that we become wise and reject such wicked satanic guidance. Further, in chapter 2 of the Quran, which is another book for the oppressed, to overturn the oppressor. Verse 17, chapter 2. Their parable is as the parable of one who kindles a fire, but when it illuminates all around him, Allah takes away their light and leaves them in darkness they cannot see. So, sisters and brothers, read this and read Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 16. And in the Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 16, Ezekiel is talking about these same wicked princes and prime ministers, these same ones who are the puppets, who do not create this system, but are the puppets that manage the system on behalf of the real puppeteers. And recall in Ezekiel how in verse 16, it causes us to understand that the earth, that the creation, that the diamonds and the rubies and the stones and the spiritual fire and that knowledge that one gains from the from creation would be cut off by the Most High from being used by these wicked ones who represent the wicked powers. The puppets, the prime ministers, the presidents, the heads of government, financial, educational institutions, these puppets who come before us and cause us to think they are with us, they would not have the benefit of creation any longer. And so with that as a backdrop, you can see here that the parable of these wicked ones, these diseased ones, verse 17, chapter 2 of the Quran, is as the parable of one who kindles a fire, but when it illumines all around them, Allah takes away their light. So there was a time when these wicked ones in power could use creation to gain knowledge, but because they used that knowledge for wickedness, they would now be cut off from using creation. They will be cut off from the fire that gives light and gives warmth. They will be cut off from being able to use the creation for their benefit, and they will be left in darkness, not able to see, not able to move. And we who have that real, true light of truth, justice, and righteousness, we will rise up and overcome them. Deaf, dumb, and blind, so they return not. This is the condition of these wicked ones with the disease in their heart. They will be cut off from creation, left deaf, that's can't hear, dumb, can't speak, blind, can't see. So they return not. They can't return. They can't move. Verse 19, chapter 2. Or like abundant rain from the cloud in which is darkness, and thunder and lightning, they put their fingers into their ears because of the thunder peal for fear of death. Now the very creation has turned on the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and all of us who follow after such wicked mentality. Recall, I'm trying to remember two recollections. Recall that the Native American peoples and other indigenous peoples prophesied that the very creation would turn on mankind, humankind, the human family, because of our wicked following after the wicked ruling class and families. And the Rastafari sisters and brothers say, death is a force of nature just like lightning. Death, you see, the Quran says these wicked ones are now listening to the thunder and the lightning, and they fear death. And the Rastafari studied creation, studied that hidden and unseen knowledge in creation. And I heard a Rasta say, Lee Scratch Perry, death is a force of nature just like lightning. The righteous pass it every day and they do not fear. But those with evil in their hearts, remember the Quran said that their hearts are diseased. Those with evil in their hearts fear it. They fear death in the creation. That is why there is no need to slay the wicked. Just leave them. Leave them. Leave their mind. Leave their mentality. Leave their wicked construct of this wicked capitalist system of privatized parasitic capitalism that destroys the human family through warfare and bloodshed and destruction of the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. Leave them to face death and they will perish. While they perish because of their wicked mentality, wicked construct, the synagogue of Satan mentality, while they perish because of their own wickedness, we, black, brown, red, yellow, and poor white, together, we will live and we will prosper. Getting back to Revelation, chapter 2, verse 13. I have to get there. I have to get there. Let me put this word in this Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. I'll put in the word sword to get there. I should be able to get there. Let me scroll down to get to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13. That one, Jesus, with the sharp two-edged sword in his mouth. The sharp sword of two edges. He has that tongue with the word of God that is used to defend and deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. Recall that last session, we are now listening to Yahshua. We are now listening to Jesus. We are now listening to that one that represents justice, that represents liberty and deliverance and returning of the land, the wealth, the resources, health and wealth and prosperity back to the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. Jesus talking in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, I know thy works and where thou dwelleth, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. This is a heavy, heavy scripture. I'm reading a book by Hank Hanegraaff called Revelation Code, I believe. I have that name in my summary. But Hank Hanegraaff, goes into the history. And this is so appropriate because we're dealing with Revelation. And Hank Hanegraaff goes into the history of the Roman Empire at this time that these seven letters were written to the original church, these original African people and others, but these Africans were the heads of the church because the Africans were the original African Hebrews that established the church to fight for justice, freedom, and equality. So, the Roman Empire, Caesar Nero, whose name equals 666, and you know the Pope's name equals 666. But Caesar Nero and the Roman Empire persecuting, prosecuting, and oppressing the church. Why? Because the church was a revolution. A Christian is a revolutionary. A Christian is anointed with power and spirit and soul to rise up and stand up on behalf of the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. And so Jesus is trying to give encouragement to the church Pergamos. And Pergamos, in this particular letter, the letter to the pastor of Pergamos, he's giving encouragement to this church because this church is going to face persecution for standing up for revolution. And Pergamos is a Greek word, which means 4010 is the number. It means height or elevation. So this church was raised up to fight Caesar Nero, to fight the Caesar, to fight the Roman Empire, to stand up and deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. And you, black man and woman, are the original descendants of those original African Hebrew Israelites. And you have been raised up, Pergamos, you've been raised up. Look at your history in America. You, every time, were the leaders. Haitian Revolution, Underground Railroad, the Civil and Human Rights Movement, Nat Turner, Gabriel Prosser, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Noble Drew Ali, Marcus Garvey, Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, Dr. King, Medgar Evers, look at all, Fannie Lou Hamer, look at your history, black man and woman. You were the leaders and are the leaders in standing up for truth, justice, and righteousness. You have been raised up, not to be arrogant, but to raise up brown, red, yellow, and white to join the struggle for revolution. We're going to take our next break. I'll see you on the other side of the break.
Even at my best, is still my greatest enemy. Good intentions never saved the soul, they never changed reality. You had to die for me, cause I'm only human. Catch me.
Greetings, greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is the Mind of God program, thinkaboutit.org. September 11th, Sunday, 2011, the 10th anniversary of 9-1-1. Now Jesus knows about your works. Jesus knows you, revolutionary, no matter what religion you have or if you don't have a religion. You who are revolutionary and standing up for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, Jesus is telling you in verse 13, chapter 2, Revelation, that he knows you. Jesus means justice. Jesus means deliverance. Jesus, or Yahshua, means health and wealth and prosperity back to the oppressed, the poor, the afflicted, and the needy. That word know, knows. 1492, Edo, on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, it means to perceive with the eyes and the senses. So Jesus has been looking at we who have kept our shoulder to the wheel. We who have never given up on the struggle. Minister Louis Farrakhan, Omali Yeshetela, Ashwa Kwesi, Harry Belafonte, Danny Glover, Randall Robinson, Winnie Mandela, Francis Cress Welsing, Mumia Abu-Jamal, Leonard Peltier, Asada Shakur, countless numbers of Black Panthers and revolutionaries in jail. All of you, Jesus knows you. Jesus has seen that you have kept to the struggle. You have kept to the revolution. You have not given up on working and organizing on behalf of the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed in order not just to defend, but deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. Knows your works, has perceived your works. That word works, 2041, on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, ergon. It means business, employment, accomplishment, by hand, or art, or industry. And all of these that I named have, in one way or another, worked on behalf of the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. In one way or another, accomplishments have been met. Things have been done and have been achieved that was in the mind of those revolutionaries that I named. Past, present, past and present. The Nation of Islam has always encouraged us as a people to go into business and self-employment. Others have done the same. Black Panthers have done the same. The African People's Socialist Party is doing the same. By hand, though all of those named have used their hands to work on behalf of the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. The Black Panthers used art, and the nation has used art, and African People's Socialist Party and all of these groups have seen how art and music can be used to cause the people to understand revolution. And industry. Elijah Muhammad always taught us to go into industry for ourselves and overall to pool our resources spiritually, mentally, morally, and physically and raise ourselves up. Remember Hannah said that the Most High wanted to raise the poor and the beggars from the dunghill, from the dirt heap, from the trash heap, from the dump sites, from being oppressed and downtrodden. So as we come together, we will see that these things will come to fruition. So Jesus, justice, has seen your works, revolutionaries, and he has also seen the seat of Satan. Satan's seat has seen that seat. Jesus has watched Satan, the seat of Satan, in that time as well as now. The seat of Satan is Rome. Rome then, the Roman Empire then, the Roman Empire today, reconstituted through Europe, the European powers, and the power of Israel and the power of the United States of North America. In that day, the Caesar, Nero, and other Caesars were wicked and killed and destroyed the African church. There were others in the church other than African, but Africa was the root. The Africans were the leaders of the African church. The Africans were teaching this knowledge to Europeans, and Rome was angry. Rome was fed up. The Caesar was fed up and doing the works of Satan. The Caesar and the Roman Empire went and started to kill and destroy the church. So these seven letters, according to Hank Hanegraaff and other scholars, were written before that persecution to give encouragement to the church, so that when the persecution would come, they would be able to overcome the persecution and remain steadfast to the revolution. Today is the same. We have to look at our history, at how the government of the United States of North America, how the CIA, the FBI, the FOP, and all of those organizations came down on the revolution, came down on the Black Panthers, came down on the US organization, came down on the Southern Christian Leadership Conference led by Dr. King, came down on the Nation of Islam, came down on Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, Dr. King, Medgar Evers, and Fannie Lou Hamer, and all of those sisters and brothers, came down on the Garvey movement. And it was up to us to remain steadfast to the revolution, to overcome this persecution. And so here we are today, having to overcome, because when you stand up, you will be persecuted on a low level by different leaders you run into, family members and friends and neighbors and so on. That's a low level. But on a high level, the very government, the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, will persecute and come down. And you see, that's what's occurring all over the earth. Warfare, bloodshed, austerity measures and programs to destroy who? Destroy the oppressed, to destroy the poor, the afflicted, and the needy, to persecute. If you're black, brown, red, yellow, or white, if you're not a part of the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, you are the poor, the afflicted, the needy, the oppressed, and the persecuted. So we have to come together and overcome that persecution. Satan, the seed of Satan. What does the word Satan mean? 4, 5, 6, 7. On the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, it comes from an Aramaic word, but the meaning is adversary, one who opposes another. That is this satanic system, this satanic house of Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, who have constructed a system that opposes the people, opposes black, brown, red, yellow, and poor white. They are our adversaries. It doesn't matter what your religion, doesn't matter your color, your ethnicity, your race, your creed, your nation, your national origin, your gender, doesn't matter. These are our adversaries. And the quicker we learn that, see, Jesus saw this adversary. We who claim to be followers of Jesus, we don't want to recognize that we have an enemy, an adversary that is out to destroy all of us. We want to keep that barrier up that separates Christianity from other religions, that separates our denomination from other denominations. Break down those barriers. I have Hindus in my neighborhood. I have Muslims in my neighborhood. I have Christians in my neighborhood. I have black, brown, red, yellow, and white living all around me in my city. And I don't see none of those barriers. I see sisters and brothers that we must come together and stand together and fight our common enemy and our common adversary, the synagogue of Satan, the seed of Satan, coming out of Rome, coming out of the powers of Europe, coming out of the imposter state of Israel, coming out of the United States of North America Empire. The seat, 2362. The Greek word is thronos, throne, the seat of Satan. then was Rome. And then in these days and times, Rome through Britain. If I have it correctly, I heard, I can't remember the scholar's name, but this particular scholar, I can't catch his name, said that the Pope at that time gave the power to run the earth to the British king, the British monarchy. So we see Rome yet in power. Rome is the religious house. Britain used to be the military headquarters, but Britain is more now the economic headquarters through the House of Rothschilds, through the Oppenheimers, but mainly economically the House of Rothschilds. And America is now the military headquarters. So Rome is the religious headquarters. They have all the religious artifacts. They have all the religious symbolisms that they stole from Africa, stole from Northeast Africa, so-called Middle East. They give you all of these symbols, the cross next to the symbol of the sun, the halo, which is a symbol of the sun. They give you all manner of signs that we use in Christianity, and they don't tell you that they stole all of those signs from Africa and symbols from Africa. They run this world based on African knowledge, African symbols, and then they reconstitute those symbols in their Illuminati Masonic order, and then they disconnect you and me from that knowledge, and they use that knowledge against us. That sign of the compass and the square with the G in the middle, signs representing knowledge and wisdom, representing spirituality and morality. The keys to the kingdom is spirituality and morality and knowledge and wisdom. The signs of justice and righteousness, all of these symbols taken from Africa, taken from our ancestors, and they use it against us and have established their civilization based on our signs and symbols, based on the symbols of creation and whatnot. But we read where the Quran said, and Ezekiel chapter 8 verse 16 said that the creation will turn against them and has done so. But Rome is that religious headquarters. Britain is the economic headquarters, and the United States of North America, the military headquarters. Together, these constitute Babylon, mystery Babylon that is no longer a mystery when we understand prophecy. The whole of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is prophesying, giving us a prophetic window look into what is occurring today. When you look at Israel, when you look at the United States of North America, when you look at Britain, when you look at Rome, when you look at their institutions, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank Organization, the World Trade Organization, when you look at all of these things that have been constituted by these wicked ones in power to destroy the human family, when you look at all of this, you can see Satan's seat. You can see that they, the House of Rothschilds et al., are our adversary. They oppose God, they oppose Jesus, they oppose the Messiah. They oppose the Messiah people. They oppose freedom, justice, and equality. And they use idolatry, covetousness. Idolatry is covetousness. Warfare, bloodshed, militarism, materialism, consumerism. All of these are the idolatrous, covetous construct to cause us to buy into 911, which is nothing but a fictitious narrative. To have you and me think that some enemy outside of America planned and orchestrated 911, flew planes into buildings, when we know all you have to do is some investigation. Go to www.tarpley.net and go to Webster Tarpley's website and look at how, when you do just some investigation, you know that all of those who were so-called terrorists were living with FBI agents and were monitored by the CIA and the FBI. you will come to understand that 5 to 9 of those that were so-called on the plane who were Arabs from Saudi Arabia never were on the plane. These were names stolen by the FBI and the CIA and used, and pictures used and put before us to make us think that somebody from the Middle East were on the planes and flying planes into buildings. 5 to 9 of those names, they weren't even on the planes, and if they are yet living, they were living at the time of this so-called 9/11 event, and they lived for years and years afterwards because they never left Saudi Arabia, they never left the Middle East, and they were working at their jobs, looking on TV, talking, and said, "What? I'm not on no plane in America flying planes into buildings. I'm in Saudi Arabia working every day trying to make a living." CIA has told us lies and given us a fictitious narrative. Muhammad Atta was not a Muslim. Muhammad Atta was hired to work on behalf of the CIA and the FBI and the military in drills. And these drills, Webster Tarpley has counted 45 drills within the last 5 to 10 years, that these drills were instituted by the government of the United States of North America to usher in this terrorist act, state-sponsored terrorism behind drills. So Muhammad Atta was not a Muslim. Muhammad Atta was a drug taker. He went to strip joints and strip clubs and purchased services from prostitutes and drank and injected drugs. But he was working with the CIA as a Muslim so-called terrorist because he thought he was helping America prepare the citizens of America for a terrorist act. But he didn't know that this drill would be turned live because certain moles, certain individuals were slipped into the drill. You have actors. You have actors who act like victims, actors who act like terrorists, and then you have ones who work for those Rothschilds and Oppenheimers and the upper ruling class and echelon who are in the drill as well, and at a certain time, just like a football game, just like a football team who have practiced drills all week, would take that drill and insert it in the game. That's what happened on 9/11. State-sponsored terrorism under the cover of drills. We understand these things, and we are not going to allow Barack Obama to cause us to think that 9/11 was some outside thing when it was an inside job. George Bush wasn't even in on it. There was a directive from high up, those who had access to codes and nuclear weapons and nuclear codes, told George Bush, Angel One is next. Meaning, George Bush, if you don't do what we tell you to do, if you don't go in Afghanistan and kill and kill and kill, we'll take you out now. So agree to what we say. And so George Bush agreed and became a part of the plan. This was a coup. This was one faction of the government to administer a coup on another faction of the government on behalf of the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers to cause us to be maneuvered into supporting killing and destruction. Jah love, Jah bless. This is the Exodus, the movement of Jah people.